we were discussing before thinking about a question, and since this video will go to AudioVeda and many other websites, can you please start with some general introduction to the idea of soul, what is soul, and then come to the point what Shia Madhav, he wanted to ask. He heard that there are two types of soul, and he says that he heard that some souls coming from Baladev and some souls coming from Radharani.
That's quite a leap.
Yeah.
Jai Vijay Raman Prabhu Ki Jai. And it looks like, am I seeing the dance of the Avadhut? Where is he?
I'm here.
Aha. A disembodied voice. Jai Srila Bhakti Bhimal Avadhut Maharaj Ki Jai. Your chair is waiting.
I'm here, Maharaj.
Okay, all right, I know he'll maybe on Sheshai. I think certainly we're going to deal with that question, or both of them. I don't know if I'm going to deal with it at this moment, but because I'm a little more thinking about Bhakti Premik Siddhanti Maharaj at the moment, and I didn't, yesterday was his disappearance day, and I didn't get to speak, and I feel more inclined to deal with that right now. But I'm going to note that and deal with it maybe the next time. But, you know, sometimes heard Srila Prabhupada, Swami Maharaj, say this, many phrases he said, they're just, you know, this divine transcendental ring about them. And one of the things he would say when he met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he would describe his life up to a point and then say, later on we met by the divine order, or later on we met by divine arrangement. So he didn't, you know, everything about Krishna consciousness is auspicious. And I could say, when you view your life through the eyes of Krishna consciousness, Shastra Chakshus, and from, you know, the vision of the Vaishnavas, Sadhu Shastra Guru Vaishnav, everything is seen in a new light, even the past. And I don't mean this in the sense of wishful thinking or nostalgia, but you'll gain increased insight about your own life. What you experienced previously will be seen in a new way. And what I mean about that is, for an example, that, well, I should preface this by saying, lest you think I'm on some kind of a tangent, that Srila Guru Maharaj likes to quote this poet named Magha, who wrote, has a famous, I think, epic poem called the Sishupal Vad, and as Lalita Madhava Prabhu, when he said, it's not, I thought it was like, oh, what Sishupal said? No, it's the death of Sishupal. Because these words can mean different things. Like Gurudev's famous talking about Bhag, Bhagi Bhag. One pundit, if you look in a Sanskrit dictionary, says, oh, Bhag, Bhag, that means smelling. And it's true, if you look in the dictionary, it's smelling. But if you go a little bit deeper, it talks about tigers. So the pundit who comes in connection with the tiger says, not to worry, Bhag means they're only smelling. Then after he's in trouble being eaten by a tiger, he's realizing, oh yeah, that's right, there's a deeper level definition. They're also devouring. So this poet Magha and the Shishupal Vad. He, Guru Maharaj, quotes this because therein he says, just as your as present auspiciousness is indicative of an auspicious future, we like to say that, Guru Maharaj said this to me, if you knew how auspicious your future was. And meaning, they can see Srila Gurudev, Srila Guru Maharaj, they could see the servitor identity and its future prospect. So they could say with great confidence, if you could see how bright your future is, how auspicious your future is, you would be astonished. Maybe you would even faint. This is on the soul. Astarjabhat kashtati paschidenam. The wonderful thing, ascharja, means wonderful, astonishing, amazing. Krishna is saying, if you could have a glimpse of your own self, you'd be astonished. You'd faint. If you saw it to the extreme, you would faint. But even your general spiritual nature, if you understand what it is, Guru Maharaj sometimes said, it's the wonderful thing. Our starting point should be the wonderful thing. The wonderful thing in the background of everything. That is Atma. That's, you know, the ants in my bathroom. Has anyone noticed the big ants here? I'm not the only one. And they come out at night. They're my friends also. So whoever's cleaning my room, just leave them be. They only live for a short time. We get to know each other. And they're around this big.
Red?
I think they're reddish black, like black cherries. But the Atma's making that ant move, and they do all kinds of things if you watch them. I've spent some time. Because I try to think, I don't want to hurt them. Then I try and like help them do things, and they don't understand that I'm trying to help. We have this whole relationship. And then they die. And then a new group comes. I don't think they live very long. Looks like a week or two. But so Atma making the ant move, but inhabiting the elephant. Right? Srila Prabhupada Swami Maharaj sometimes when he would playfully joust with the against scientists, he would say, they can make a 747, but can they make a fly? Maybe, I mean, that was 30, 40 years. I'm sure there's some guys, at MIT last week, they have a fly, an experimental. But he was saying, the subtlety, how flies, like, you can make a 747, an A380, whatever, but can you make a fly? So, ascharjabhat paschati kashchidenam. It's this amazing quality the soul has to animate. So that prospect. So present auspiciousness is indicative of a bright future prospect. But the reason Guru Maharaj has quoted this also is to say, Magha is saying here that if you have auspicious connection at present, it's also indicative of some past auspiciousness. And in that plane, Bhaktivinoda Thakur verifies this in the Jaiva Dharma, saying, coming in connection with Krishna consciousness is not something accidental, and coming in connection with those who are pursuing Krishna consciousness is not accidental. And Srila, as Swami Maharaj would say, you know, by divine order we met, by divine arrangement we met, by the divine will, divine, divine, divine. So in times, if you ask someone, they always like this story about how did you come to Krishna consciousness? And someone can honestly say, whichever devotee is responding to that, they can start seeing some events, usually right before they so-called joined or made their connection. They'll see, well, this happened, then that happened, and you can start seeing some kind of, say, divine pattern just prior to their moment of offering themselves. But what I'm suggesting is the extended range of perceiving some divine arrangement, it gets bigger. More things will seem to be connected. And you could say, if you wanted to just take it to the extreme, that as Srila Prabhupada's followers would say sometimes when being asked certain things, under certain circumstances, he would respond by saying, I do not recall a time when I was ever not searching for Krishna. And anyone who's sincerely pursuing Krishna consciousness, they'll come to a point of realizing, actually, at every moment, at every step of the way, under every circumstance, they were always and only searching for Krishna. It seemed like something else, that's all. I remember when I first heard of Srila Bhakti Premik Siddhanti Maharaj, the time Chidananda Prabhu, I had just so-called joined the San Francisco Temple in May of 1971. And as fate would have it, we're doing Harinam Sankirtan, and we were arrested, all the devotees. And our temple was like 25 brahmacharis and 3 so-called brahmacharinis. So we're all arrested and thrown into jail. And then we're thinking, what are we going to do to practice Krishna consciousness? So they took our japa mala and everything. So then someone said, well, you Mahaprabhu is to chant on knotted rope. Probably not his shoestrings. But so out of shoestrings, they're making an impression. Because we have to chant 16 rounds every day. Then someone said, we should have arati. We have to have mangal arati. We have to have, 3 aratis, 6 aratis. We have to have a lot of aratis. We're here. And our temple deities with Jagannath, Subhadra, Baladev. And someone was an artist, they drew Jagannath on the wall. And they said, there is this devotee. Prabhupada said, he's a pure devotee. His name is Chidananda Prabhu. And due to some sickness, some this, that, or other thing, some Chidananda-like pastime, somehow he was incarcerated in a healthy jail. A jail for health. And we were told, and he had these little deities. If you ever met Maharaj and interacted, these little Radha Krishna deities around this big, he kept like with him on an altar, different places. And so we were told, because I think somehow the authorities offended him. And somehow, anyway, he found himself in a circumstance of restricted movement. And had these little deities, and we heard, and he's going on every day with these aratis and offerings, practicing Krishna consciousness. And that Prabhupada said, he's a pure devotee. So that was the first time I ever heard of him. So they said, we're going to follow what he does. That was the idea. That's why they invoked his name and said, he's doing this. We're in a similar circumstance. And Prabhupada endorsed what he's doing. We're also going to do that. So, and someone had a book of matches. So the matches became the Panch Pradeep, the ghee lamp. So they'd light a match, and then the pujari would do the, and we'd, we'd have kirtan, and it was very interesting. And then we heard that he's, because of health, this reason or that reason, he's situated in Santa Cruz. So originally that place belongs to him. I mean, I heard about him being in Santa Cruz in 1971. So I think he can, we can understand he had some special connection with that. And other places on the shore of the ocean, like Nilam Bodhi today, the broad blue ocean in Puri. But I didn't see him for many years. But during the times also, he was the president of the San Francisco Temple. Like some devotees, they like to think back to these days at the Family Dog in different places with Grateful Dead and other bands were playing, and they liked Swamiji, Prabhupada. Siddhananda Prabhu at the time, Siddhanti Maharaj, he was there in those days. And the president of the San Francisco Temple, like in the heart of the hippie times, when it was like flooded, Haight-Ashbury. And like two people that he can be credited with converting the Krishna consciousness, or as they used to say, make devotees, were Tamal Krishna Goswami, the great devotee of Srila Prabhupada, Krishna consciousness movement, and also Vishnu Jana Swami. So he was the president when they joined. And they were like living down the street. And he once told me, he's so, like Gurudev, we know he used this expression, simple-hearted Vaishnava. And he's referencing Rupa Goswami, where he's describing one of the 26 qualities, pure devotee. Charles is one. You know, Charles means simple, pure-hearted. He told me once when he met Prabhupada, and I've mentioned this sometimes, that everyone, if you ask anyone who joined, they'll generally tell you they were on some sort of a spiritual search, something along those lines. There's variations and modifications of that story. But he told me quite in a natural, unassuming way that, like, when he met Prabhupada, he said, he looked like he needed some help. He meets the Shaktivesha avatar of Nityananda Prabhu, you know, who's going to fulfill Mahaprabhu's prediction, Bhaktivinod's wishes, Saraswati Thakur, spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And his impression was, he looked like he needed some help. And naturally, he offered himself help. Like Gopal was saying that Gurudev said one of his great qualities, always concerned about others, not about himself, but always, he always wanted to make sure everyone else gets a chance to connect to the lotus feet of Guru or have that opportunity. But even when he saw Srila Prabhupada himself, he thought, maybe he needs some help and I can offer myself in service. That was the beginning of his relationship. And he had a car, he would drive Prabhupada around for shopping or take him to this famous lake. I always think it's called Swan Lake, but that's the name of a ballet. Something like that. Seems like it's Swan. But he would take him to Golden Gate Park for his walk and help in so many different ways. So many years went by, and we found ourselves in the aftermath of the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, that our ultimate necessity at the lotus feet of Srila Bhakti Rakab Sridhar Dev Goswami Maharaj. So we made Srila Guru Maharaj's connection. And as I began recording him, I started distributing the recordings. And interestingly, I was still in Los Angeles at the time as the president of the temple, ISKCON Temple in Los Angeles. This is around 1980 or so. And I got a letter from someone who wanted to buy, like, I had around 20 tapes at that time. And it was, you know, saying Chidananda Prabhu, it had a postal money order, and you know, he'd heard some, maybe a few here and there. So he was the first person who made his approach that way. And later, when we established First Temple for Srila Guru Maharaj in San Jose, he also, I mean, it's the first, we got the phone installed. This is the old days where they used to have landlines. You've probably seen them in a movie or on the internet. So there was a landline installed, and then the phone rang, you know, I pick up the phone, it's Chidananda Prabhu in Santa Cruz. And there was at that time, there'd been some like devastating, what do you call it? Not a hurricane, some kind of a storm where all the power was out for a week. But he wanted to meet myself and Brahma Prabhu, and we drove down there. And we met in some place where they play sitar music. I forget, Batik or something like that. And they had candles lit there because there's no power in the town. And met with him, and he wanted to know how to go to Sri Chaitanya Saraswati Math. So I gave him a map and told him, you go to the Navadvip train station, get a rickshaw, and at the time you say, I want to go to Kolair Dunga Math. Now they tell Jal Mandir, but at that time it was Kolair Dunga Math. Gopal can verify. That area is called Kolair Dunga, where the mat is. So for many years it was just known as the Kolair Dunga Math. Told him how to go, and he went there, and the rest, as you see, it's kind of like history. But he was always visiting the mat, going to Jagannath Puri, coming to our mat in San Jose with news, going back and forth, and always a great preacher, connecting so many others. And then something, he always plays some pivotal role in things happening. So I, at the time, with the devotees at the Guardian Devotion Press, we just completed The Golden Volcano of Divine Love, this book, which Srila Guru Maharaj later told me was, of the books we published, this was his favorite, because it was about Mahaprabhu and many other things. But so at that time, I wanted to come, fly to India to present it to him. And when I got there, as it goes, of course, overjoyed and happy to receive this. And he said that he just got word from Chidananda Prabhu that the Gambira, the room that Mahaprabhu lived the last 12 years of his life in the depths of separation of Radha Bhav. Remember, there's no windows in the room, behind closed doors with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda. This is repeatedly mentioned in Chaitanya Charitamritam. Because after sannyasa, up to 24 Navadvip pastimes, sannyasa 24, Mahaprabhu remains in the world for 48 years. 24 takes sannyas, 6 years traveling around India, South India, other places, also visiting Puri. But then that leaves 18 of the last 18. For 6 years, accessible, devotees are coming every year, big Rath Yatra pastimes. But last 12 years, in seclusion with Swarup Damodar and Ramananda Roy behind closed doors, plunging into the depths of Radha Bhav, the Banhigarbha, as mentioned in the Premadama Deva Stotram, that Srila Gurudev translated as the fire bed of separation. And this is what golden volcano meant. Originally, this golden volcano, divine lava, as mentioned in the introduction. And I observe this parallel that in one place Kaviraj Goswami is saying in the Chaitanya Charitamritam that sometimes Mahaprabhu, who, like Gurmukh says, Svarnakoti Darpanaba Deho Varna Gauravam, his body is like 10 million brilliant mirrors made of gold. What kind of gold? Tapta Kanchana means molten gold, like if you're melting gold, that type of heat. So following that, Kaviraj Goswami will say sometimes it looks like a golden mountain rolling in the dust. But Guru Maharaj has taken this to its greatest intensity, saying what is in his heart, he said, is like a boiler maker, which means the thing where they melt metal. So the heart has become so intense. He's saying the under pressure, if you put the maximum amount of pressure on affection, what will be the result? So the heart is, exploding in volcanic eruptions. And he said, and streams of lava are coming from Mahaprabhu. Like streams of lava, the Shikshastakam is like streams of lava coming from him. That's what he means by describing golden volcano of divine love. Very intense. Whenever we see a picture of a volcano or some representation in a video, it's always like an eruption. So Guru Maharaj is comparing these to ecstatic eruptions from the heart of Mahaprabhu. That sort of intensity. We're always thinking, or we have the stereotype that people who are spiritually advanced, they're always smiling and everything's just so sweet and mellow and like that. And that's there sometimes. But here, there's this unparalleled intensity of emotion, ecstatic eruptions of emotion, which are, graphically portrayed by Guru Maharaj as a golden volcano. How extraordinary. And again, this points to the unique original wealth of Chaitanya Saraswat Mat. So many times people say, well, what's the difference between the Chaitanya Saraswat Mat and any other Mat? And that's another subject, but one way to approach that is by referring to the original wealth of Srila Guru Maharaj as in the golden volcano, divine lava, reality of the beautiful, dive deep into reality of the Prema Dhamma Deva Stotra, many, many other things, but unique connections. So many things shared, but something, again, unique and original. So Guru Maharaj was really inspired. I can't convey to you how inspired he was to receive this book. And he said, and I just got this letter from Chidananda Prabhu, Siddhanti Maharaj, saying the Gambira is available, the Seva. These things sometimes are available in India. Special holy places. So, and he revealed at that time that when he contemplated retiring, three places came to mind. Uddhav Kyari in Vrindavan, which is what? The place of the Brahmar Gita, which is, again, his boiler maker from the heart of Radharani. Her ecstatic eruptions are in Uddhav Kyari. Second place, then he thought, well, Vrindavan, that is for the highest section of liberated souls, humbly taking himself not to qualify. There he thought, Gambira. Well, he settled on Navadvip, but he told that third place was the Gambir. And now that it was available, he was very eager to get the seva. So he sent his secretary and myself there immediately, like, we were on the train to Puri that evening to see if that could be realized. But I was so surprised to see Guru Maharaj so... This is around 3 years before his disappearance, so animated, so full of life about this. And then he said something shocking. He said, and if you can get it, he said, I will come there for the inauguration. And at this time, he was not leaving his veranda, which is on the rooftop, only it would come down on Saraswati Thakur's appearance day, his own, Gaurapurnima, three times a year, maybe. And he saw the look of disbelief on my face. Like he said, I will, because I thought, he read my mind. I was thinking inside, he won't survive the journey. And Guru Maharaj knew that, and he said, if I die on the way, said, at least I will have died going in the right direction. He was like, that inspired. So we went there, and then we met with Chidananda Prabhu, Siddhanti Maharaj, and we went to the Gambhir, and they're usually not so inviting of the western section. But somehow, seeing that we brought the golden volcano of divine love with us, and they received the book very nicely, understand with, and put where Mahaprabhu's asan is. So it looked like that, because they're, in a sense, this is the book personification of Mahaprabhu. So it appeared as though he's taken seat there, that this was a very special event. And Siddhanti Maharaj was there, the secretary and myself, and we tried our best. Somehow it didn't happen, but at least these moments, we got to at least the golden volcano of divine love entered the Gambhir and sat on the asan and received worship there. So, it seemed wherever intense devotional connection was, that Sripad Siddhanti Maharaj would always be there. And this willingness to sacrifice himself in service to the lotus feet of Srila Gurudev, he personified that. Just one or two instances we can think of. We know in Govardhan how difficult it is there, especially in the summertime, and they have these hot winds, I forget the name, but where you have to wear a cloth.
Lu.
Yeah, you know, you must wear a cloth. It's very dangerous and so hot. And he went over Gurudev's room so that Gurudev would get some relief. Siddhanti Maharaj would be outside taking buckets of like cold water and pouring them on the roof because the roof will get the sun's heat and become hotter. He's taking all that pain, suffering on his own, pouring that just so that maybe the temperature will go down a little bit and Gurudev will get some relief. Those kind of things. Leading Srila Gurudev to say one, he said, if my disciples will take the dust from his feet upon their head, they will get Guru Bhakti. That's the ultimate compliment that you can give someone. He's saying, you'll get devotion to Guru taking the dust from his feet on your head. So, I think of this chapter I've mentioned before, that in the seventh canto, Narada, telling so many qualifications that are necessary to achieve Krishna consciousness. And as I read them, my head just sinks lower in disappointment and despair. Like, kabe habe bolu se dinamar. like, this is not going to happen. And you see, and they will be like this, and they will be like that, and one who is Krishna, we see it. There are many sections like that in different places. And you look at that, and you can think, oh, so far away. Life, thousands of lifetimes away. But then some hope comes. The conclusion, the summary sloka says, etat sarvam guru bhaktya purusho yanjaso jayet. Saying, but if you get lotus, if you get devotion, guru bhakti, if you get devotion to the lotus feet of guru, you get everything. So when Srila Gurudev says he's got guru bhakti, that's the ultimate compliment. There's nothing higher than that. That is the goal. Right? Real Krishna bhakti is directed towards the lotus feet of his devotees. That's why our ultimate goal is indicated by Das Goswami as Radha Dasyam. The service of the lotus feet of Srimati Radharani, of whom the Guru Varga is considered her delegated representative. So, Maharaj, would you like to say a few words? I think you should.
I think it's time.
Okay, or sing a few words.
I think Bhakti Lali is here, she should say.
Do you want, did I leave? I mean, we could, it's somehow I took up all the time.
But. So we offered him some papaya yesterday and then
how.
Oh, he liked papaya.
Yes.
He planted many trees, and now we're just from eating papaya and throwing seeds.
And also, he is a little naughty sometimes. We're in London together. Like, he knew how to play, like, make it appear that he wasn't sly and crafty. So it's British Airways, and like around 500 people ready to get on the airplane. I always get this, whatever my section is, it'll be the last one to board. It's just the way it is. And he goes, well, I'll see you, Maharaj. I go, what are you doing? He goes, you know, early boarding. He pulls out of his bag a black eye patch and puts it over his eye like this. And he's got his bag with cereal and muri, and he just like, walks on, and no one's going to say a word to him. And I'm like, with utter confidence, as if like, I've done this 100 times. Yes, Marcus.
You know, one thing, I remember when you know, he took sannyas, like Bharat took sannyas, and Siddhartha Maharaj took sannyas at that time, if you remember.
Yeah, I do.
We were going, it was like a special time. We were in Vrindavan.
Vrindavan.
We've been going to some special. I don't know if you were there.
She was there.
We were going, it was like an extraordinary time. We were going to some very remote places like Lalita Bari, Kadamkandi. You know, it was like a special kind of environment. So that's why it was with us. And then after taking sannyas, Gurudev sent us to preach. So I went to Siddhartha Maharaj for preaching tour.
Yeah.
And as we were approaching towards north, it was like more and more colder, minus 30.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like very determined to go more north to the place where I was.
Like the North Pole.
Like Murmansk.
Like the North Pole.
And we were staying in Petrozavodsk, which is like one day from Petersburg.
Oh.
And it's like.
That's so, where the big lake is.
It's been, like so cold, really. Frost on the windows. So I told him, I got tickets to Murmansk, I'm going. He said, I can't stay this cold, I'm going back to Petersburg Temple. I said, okay, no problem. I'm just keep going,
Maharaj. Okay.
So he's like, okay, I'm on, get me a ticket. Then after half an hour, he say, well, I can't tolerate.
Uh-huh.
So we had to get the ticket like 5 or 6 times.
Yes.
Then I just said, Maharaj, here's your train to Petersburg, my train to Murmansk. And I felt like I got rid of him. And I'm like sitting like really cool place alone, and I thought I got rid of him. And then like the train started going.
Yeah.
And then I feel like Hare Krishna, Siddhanti Maharaj. So he ran away from the train to Petersburg. You know, he was like, at the last moment, he was like, changed his mind, so we went. That's where the picture when we had the reindeers. And we wore the Santa Claus hats and Harinam on the feet.
Because I showed that picture to Bengali man on Gurudev's veranda, and he said, he'd been to Russia, he goes, I've seen it, like it was nothing. And I said, wait a minute, you've seen the reindeer? Yeah, I've seen them. I said, but have you ever seen like two sannyasis with the reindeer?
Well, no, that I've not seen.
Hello.
Anyway.
With Santa hats on.
Everybody really loved him for his kirtan.
Yes.
I mean, I think just to talk to him, we can, it's like an hour's.
Yes. And his favorite type of dance is what's called the Udanda, which means to jump straight up. That's why Danda, Udanda means up into the air and down. And one of the last times I saw him in Petersburg, there's this kirtan going on around midnight. And I looked out the window, and there's Siddhanti Maharaj doing jump, you know, playing the kartals, the one beat, one dun, 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 you know, and going, his favorite kirtan is Hari Ball. Hari Ball, Hari Ball, Hari Ball, Hari Ball, Hari Ball. You know, and he's jumping up and down like this, like it looks like a meter off the ground, and surrounding him are all young people.
Yeah.
So he's almost 70, he's leaping up into the air like that, and there's all these young people surrounding him in a circle.
But you know, he was an amazing person, and we were very good friends. I have like thousands of stories. Like we traveled to Ukraine to get Zaporozhye. I mean, I just remember one of, you know, like everybody like felt, because he couldn't speak, he couldn't properly code slokas, and he couldn't speak very systematically. So everybody were a little like funny about. You know, like, had a little, like, fun about him. But once, I remember once, we had, like, a really big program, like, 300 people. And as a respect, I said, so hard, you should say something. And I just was amazed how he manifests, like, certain mystic things. And so one of the sloka and the introduction of our program was like Amritasya Putram, about the sons of
Nectar.
So he's just like said, well, you know, sons of Nectar, the ocean of Nectar. And he said, they're different type of people. They're like some people living by the bank of of the ocean. They just enjoy the beautiful their environment. You know, some people are as a fisherman, they're going to the ocean, they take fish, they live by that. Some people, like as a scientist, they go deep into the ocean, they search and study. I said, but there are some people like artists, they just like glorify ocean. And he said, that is Krishna consciousness. It was so beautiful, and I was really amazed because I felt that like Saraswati herself is entering his mouth, and he's like ghostly taken by wave of Krishna consciousness and preaching, divine flow is coming, and you can see that this is what Mukam Kaloti Vachanam Pangum Landu Yukte Girim. It's just when you connect with that substance, it will play you, it will use you for its own divine will. His introduction was so beautiful that the whole 300 people were like totally mesmerized and like shocked, and everybody were so happy. So he had some extraordinary qualities in the Book of Guru.
Yeah, that I want to say one thing about, because when some book is coming, Gurudev, he's asking me what I think about it. And generally I'm being polite, you know, saying, oh, this is very nice, that kind of thing. But when it came to this book that Siddhanti Maharaj made, Religion of the Heart, I was astonished by what was in there. And Gurudev was astonished. He said, how could he know to collect all these high things from me? Because, and it's not to say the other books are also wonderful, but here was some extraordinary collection and also capacity to know to select those things. And I pointed out to Gurudev a small thing, just to give some extreme praise, was that we here in Charitamritam, they'll say, behind those closed doors in the Gambhir, Mahaprabhu, what is his tasting matter? Krishna Karnamritam, Gita Govinda, Jagannath Balabnatak of Ramananda. But I'll say also, Chandi and Vidyapati. So, but nothing's given from them. Only one little slok in Advaita chart when they go to Advaita Bhavan, but that's not developed. But here, the famous Shamanam song that Gurudev liked to speak of, the whole song is there, that was in there. So I told Srila Gurudev, as a means of praise, I said, someone can make a case. What is not found in Chaitanya Charitamrita is found in this book. That's how extraordinary it is. And many times Srila Gurudev would be reading it and look and go, how did Siddhanti Maharaj do this? And as you say, it's the proof of Mukham Karoti Balchalam, so that by Sri Guru Dinitayana, by the grace, by Sri Guru and his grace, impossible things become possible. Chidananda became Siddhanti Maharaj, because we think, why Siddhanti? Ultimately, he gave the Siddhanta, the highest Siddhanta. Right. So, and all based upon Guru Bhakti. As you say, not known to be a scholar, a researcher, pundit-type devotee. Not at all. The antithesis of that. Someone, when he spoke from the heart, everybody was flooded and happy. He didn't have to go that other route. If he just told what was from his heart, what his feelings were, everyone would appreciate that, because it was real and substantial, and he could say those things and for them to be meaningful.
He proved his name, actually.
Yeah.
This is his PhD. I'd seen the way he's doing this book. It wasn't in front of me, said some things. I said, like, Maharaj, what are you doing? He's like hearing lecture, transcribing. When we're in Siberia, in Murmansk, he's sitting in the corner, like, just like transcribing and going. Like, he could go on with his internal bhajan.
Yeah.
Just way before he disappeared, you remember, you and I, we came to see him.
Yeah.
I had a very intimate talk with him. And like, he knew he's going. Like, he wasn't stupid. He's just, he was also an amazing person. He prepared for Virachandra, money for the ticket. He prepared his own funeral. Like, he didn't want to disturb anybody. He had funds collected. He left as a perfect gentleman.
Yeah.
He wouldn't just want to drop his problem to everybody. And, his family is a very noble family. His brother, his old relatives came. And maybe you was there. I don't know. But to me, he's the perfect example of, like, a Forrest Gump type person. That character, sincere, seeker. And he's one of the, like, best people of the nation, I would say. Like, if you look at the American nation,
yes.
Because he's a general, son of a Navy general, son of wealthy people who lived in educated environment could be spoiled by, you know, so many things. He accepts, you know, willingly accept the fifth principle for Vaishnava as being like a beggar. Always look like a beggar. But never was actually a beggar, but, you know, taking this very humble approach and humble dress of a Vaishnava mendicant and going with, you know, collecting great realizations, sacrificing his life to Prabhupada, to great, you know, acharyas. He's like real, we can say, in this regard, his human life has been totally fulfilled and total example. Because he could go to Bengal and, you know, just stay by the door of the guru, or feed dogs of Shrodavinda Maharaj, or, you know, just accompany him on world tour, you know, buy his own ticket, stay very humbly. And I remember when Guru Maharaj came, he said, oh, well, you know, Chitananda is coming on his own way. And I'm thinking, who is this man? You know, what is his? But then he was very affectionate, very sweet, and, you know, relationship with him were developed in a very nice way. And when Bharat Maharaj were thinking to take sannyas, and Gurudev said he will approve, I said to Gurudev, I said, then you should you give it to him then. You should give sannyas to Chitananda. And Gurudev said, yes. I said, because he's very, like, I said, everybody loves him in Russia. Gurudev said, yes. Means, like, I said, don't rush, you know, like, he, for Russia, he's perfect. And, you know, he's very devoted to you. Gurudev said, yes, yes, I will give, no problem. And Siddhanta Maharaj, that he heard that, he was, like, fired up, and it's happy. It was some divine arrangement.
The last time I saw Gurudev in Bangkok, he told me, he, like, with an astonished look on his face, he said, he's still, and that was when he was in extreme sick condition. Siddhanta Maharaj left a few months later. He said, still he is sending like substantial donations and serving me. He said, I don't know what kind of devotion he has for me. He, like, with big eyes, astonished. And then he said, at that time, he said, if I can go, you know, survive and go to America, I will go to see him.
Yes.
So I got to write that, because at the time he needed some nourishment. And so I told him the truth, and I said, Srila Gurudev said he will come to America to see you, to be with you. So,
do you remember when you came back from America to India after seeing this Siddhanta Maharaj? Remember what Gurudev said to you that day when you first came in?
I'm trying, you help me.
And you were telling, you know, relating to Gurudev, how Siddhanta Maharaj was, and Gurudev, he is my best friend. And then he said, he has full ticket.
Oh, yes, full ticket. Yeah.
He's got his full ticket.
We've gone like Gurudev to go before Gurudev.
That's Rishabhdev. We're talking about Siddhanta Maharaj. He left in Sokhel. But your well wishes are appreciated. Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah, right, of course. What you're saying is true. He's saying Haridas Thakur could not, I thought you meant in his presence, Haridas Thakur could not tolerate the thought that Mahaprabhu will leave. He understands he's going to wind up his pastimes. So he prayed he could go first. And we believe that Siddhanta Maharaj has so much love for Gurudev that he wouldn't have been able to tolerate the disappearance. So he left. If you look on the calendar, it's like 2 months before, as Haridas Thakur left before Mahaprabhu, you're correct.
So he called Gurudev and get permission
to leave.
Yes,
and that nurse who was attending to him and seeing this is some extraordinary personality, And he's always telling her, because his body's falling apart, that we have another form, the Swaroop. And she was saying, will I get to see your Swaroop? And the day before his departure, he said, if you come tomorrow. Hare Krishna, Jai Shri Bhakti Premik Siddhanti Maharaj Ki Jai.